Today on Season 3, Episode 72 of the Unknown Packers Podcast, Bryce may be celebrating the NFC North clinching victory over the Lions solo, but he still takes care of business. Rodgers steps ahead in the MVP race, Adams continues to play like the best receiver in the league, and MVS is heating up at the right time. The defense continues to frustrate, but could they be putting it together when it matters? We have game balls, listener questions, and could a hungrier, healthier Carolina team be headed into town? Listen in and find out. And now it's time for One and Not Done on Tap.
Thank you so much for following the Unknown Packers podcast.
Touchdown! Dagger! Al Harris, 56 yards to a game-winning touchdown! Green Bay Packers! Go,
Pack, go! Winning isn't everything, but it's the only thing. Green and yellow, green and yellow, green and yellow,
green and yellow, green and yellow. Unknown Packers podcast. Green and yellow, green and yellow,
green and yellow, green and yellow. And let me tell you this, Green Bay is a great town.
And welcome to the Unknown Packers podcast for One and Not Done on Tap. I am Bryce Christensen, and I am thrilled to be recording solo with my faithful followers. And we're gonna freeform it for this episode, but I'd be remiss if I did not throw a little kudos, a little recognition to the man behind the scenes, the magician, Neebles and Sonic Transformation, what they're doing with our sound, our intro, week in and week out. It's impressive. I'm humbled to be in their company, Neebles and Scott, who do all the sound. Neebles doing the production. It's been a wild ride. We've been doing it now for a year and a half. And we had Ken join. We had him join back in May. So we're coming on, what, June, July, August, September, October, November. We got about 7 months. We're still in the honeymoon phase with Ken and I. And typically, week in, week out, Ken and I co-host. But he's attending to a personal matter right now. And I'm going to be peacocking it with you all solo. So let's see how this goes. I usually do a first half solo show. And then I welcome a guest, or I've been co-hosting with Ken. I used to do some solo shows, and then Neebles yanked the cord, pulled me off stage, roughed me up a little bit, and I've been co-hosting ever since. I'm kidding, of course, but so let's see how this goes. First half, second half, a full episode with you all, but thank you so much for tuning in for a victorious Packers episode. Packers win 31-24 over the Detroit Lions. They are now 10-3, and their record now matches the New Orleans Saints, who lost to Jalen Hurts and the Philadelphia Eagles a week after Hurts gave us a little bit of anxiety in the fourth quarter after we beat them, what, 30-16, and we followed up with this win. And right now, they have their own path. Oh, they are in the driver's seat right now. New Orleans Saints lost. Saints and Packers are tied at the top of the NFC right now. Packers own the tiebreaker for that victory back in September. I know Michael Thomas wasn't playing. I know Taysom Hill. We should have him. He's quarterbacking for the Saints. But right now, Packers have the number one seed in the driver's seat, own the tiebreaker, and they've scored 30 plus points in 11 games right now. Imagine that. Last year, we were freaking out. I mean, I was okay. But there are a lot of people freaking out last year, even though when 13-3, first round bye, number two seed, first year head coach, and then this offseason we bring in Jordan Love, or we draft Jordan Love, I should say, we trade up. We trade up. Context is important. We trade up and draft Jordan Love, and then we freaked out in training camp, virtual offseason, all that stuff. And here we are. In a COVID pandemic NFL season, right now the Packers look good. They look good. 10-3 right now. And before the game, before the Lions-Packers game, myself and you all included found out that if the Packers beat the Lions, they can clinch the NFC North after the Vikings had lost over the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. They played the noon game. Packers were flexed to 3. So that got me juiced up. And speaking of juiced up, I took some sniffing salts beforehand. Riding solo, I got to get amped up. Got to do what, Kevin Green, Clay Matthews style? Pretty sure Aaron Rodgers has sniffed a sniffing salt here and there. I'm joking. Or am I? You be the judge. But right now, I mean, just let's soak it all in. Yes, there were some concerns for sure. Like there is every week. It's the NFL, just like Coach LaFleur said. There's always areas that you can get a little better on. And I'll talk a little bit about what the areas they can get a little better on. And we'll talk about game balls. I'll be doing game balls. And then if I make it through this first half, I make it. If I don't have to be resuscitated, I'll come back in the second half and we'll do some fan questions. And it's not really fun doing a fill-in-the-blank solo, but we'll see. We'll see how I'm feeling. We'll see if the sniffing salts can carry me for the next 40 minutes. And then we're going to wrap up and we're going to look at who the Packers play next. But right now, Packers win their final 3 regular seasons games, 3 season games. They get the number one seed plus a lone playoff bye and a home field advantage to go along with that. And a few episodes ago, I talked about how I don't know if I want the Green Bay Packers to get the one seed. And you're probably like, what? Turning off this episode, and you actually have every right to. You have full control, full autonomy, and I beg and plead for you to stick around and hear me out. Came to my senses, but I thought they were a different team after the bye. Granted, it was an earlier bye. They're a different team, and they struggled against the Buccaneers, and you're starting to wonder what's going on with them, but they've righted the ship so far. But I thought maybe, they're a team that just needs to play week in, week out. Just keep that momentum going. Right now, them being in the driver's seat, they control their own destiny for that one seed. The only bye in the NFC. One seed is the only team that gets a bye this year. And maybe it's a good thing. You get players a little healthier. Get Rodgers some rest. Go back to the drawing board. Get to advance the second round. Don't have to gut it out, grind it out for 4 quarters, let other teams do that. And something that has been elusive for the Green Bay Packers, and specifically Aaron Rodgers, is they've never hosted an NFC championship game. I know, I'm getting ahead of myself. But imagine that. Aaron Rodgers has 3 NFC championship games. They've all been road games. Their best chance was in 2011 with that 15-1 season. They lost to the New York Giants in the divisional round. That was their year to road to the Super Bowl, goes through Lambeau. And now we're here. Year 2. Little harbinger. Little preview of a fan question in the second half. But let's also not forget, this was another tour de force by Aaron Rodgers. His MVP campaign tour. Some people saying the Aaron Rodgers spite tour. And he took another step, possibly winning his 3rd NFL MVP. You had Patrick Mahomes that threw 3 interceptions Sunday. Kansas City prevailed, though. But Aaron Rodgers now leads the league in both touchdown passes with 39 and 4 interceptions, the fewest. Keep in mind, he's not going to catch Patrick Mahomes in passing yards. He's more like 500 behind. Mahomes got 4,208. Rodgers got 3,685. But Rodgers has extended his lead in passer rating to 119.7 to 112.3, respectively, to Patrick Mahomes. And he's moving closer and closer to his own single-season record of 122.5 set back in 2011. Keep in mind, this is a different team. But when you're looking at the Green Bay Packers and what they've done week in, week out, you're looking at that offensive line, you're looking at Davante Adams hauling in 7 catches for 115. Not going to talk about the next player because he might get a game ball. And you have Aaron Jones running back with 15 carries, 69 yards. Jamal Williams, 10 with 38. They combine for 107 on the ground. And Aaron Rodgers just hitting different receivers. Tonyan with his 9th score, approaching double digits. He's just schemed open all the time. Coach LaFleur, it's just been magical to watch just some of the plays that he's thought of. Really, really impressive. And you see Aaron Rodgers, he's settling it. I mean, realistically, if we're talking about it, what team stands in Green Bay's way? I mean, you look at Kansas City, but they're in the AFC. Let them gut it out in the AFC. But in the NFC, really, I don't know. I think what you're going to see, though, is you're going to have to see Aaron Rodgers and that offense, which is leading the league in scoring right now. They're going to have to continue to play well. And so far, you've got LaFleur, you've got Rodgers, you've got Devontae, who's the best wide receiver in the league right now. That touchdown, that first touchdown was incredible. I mean, geez, every week you're looking at Devontae Adams and he just continues to just amaze me, amaze you, amaze everyone. But the one thing, I know I started off guns a-blazing. Maybe the sniffing salts are wearing off. Halftime. Take this commercial break. I'll do another. I'll be back. I've made it. But when you're looking at the other side of the coin of the Green Bay Packers, you're looking at this defense that did produce 4 sacks in the first half. They had a solid outing against the run. They've gotten better. They've only given up one big run in the last, 3-4 weeks? And that was to David Montgomery, that 57-yarder against Chicago. You got a 3-and-out to start the second half. That Coach LaFleur had talked about, that was a critical play. And it allowed Green Bay to take a 2-score lead. And then they also held up in the red zone to force a late field goal. So they could have scored a touchdown. So they're bending in the right way, this defense. And like I mentioned, the only long run was against David Montgomery. Yeah, it was ever since Indianapolis, they've just been solid against the run. Detroit had just 45 yards on 14 carries. So in the last 3 games, opposing running backs have produced 169 on 43 carries, a 3.9 average. So, and you're seeing people step up. Mean Dean had a really nice series. Rashawn Gary had a nice sack, and then he left in the second half with something. Coach LaFleur didn't talk about what it was. And while I'm recording, I didn't find out what is going on with Rashawn Gary. So my apologies for those tuning in for that info. But you're looking at Darnell Savage. I wanted him to get up to that line of scrimmage. I wanted him to get up there. And it was eerily reminiscent. I know I'm getting ahead of myself, but Leroy Butler behind Reggie White and Santana Dotson back in the 90s, slipping and slide, get in there, tacking the quarterback. I called Darnell Savage the Great White Shark because he maneuvers like one. And it was spot on for that sack. It was so impressive. So while he didn't get that interception that he had in the last 2 games, he's had 3 interceptions in the last 3 games, if you want to round it out easy. But that sack was a big play. What you're seeing right now with Jair Alexander, Adrian Amos laying the lumber, Darnell Savage making plays, Kevin King being solid, might have been out of position on that late reception that could have possibly been overturned. I don't know. But this defense has got playmakers. And Coach LaFleur talked about this in his postgame presser. We've got great players. And they do. When you're looking at that offense, they're peppered with studs. And you're looking at the defense, and they're ascending in the right way. We'll see how serious Rashawn Gary's injury is. I'd like to see Kenny Clark, Za'Darius Smith pressure. But Dean Lowry kind of stepping up with that nice series in the first half. Defense bending in the right way. So, yes, there are definitely some things where you're like, all right, they're letting this team back in. But you also have to realize that Lions really don't have nothing to lose. They always play well against Green Bay usually, especially on the road outside of that Motown miracle. But, I mean, even in that game, we were down the whole game. And they've got interim head coach Darrell Bevell's got ties to Green Bay. Got a long history with him, ex-Wisconsin Badger. He was there with the whole Vikings and Brett Favre saga, the Seahawks. I mean, Bevell not only being a Wisconsin boy playing football at Wisconsin, being a coordinator for Favre for the Packers, thought he was QB's coach for the Packers, and then a coordinator for the Vikings and Seahawks, and now he's interim head coach for the Lions. So he's got some ties to Green Bay, and I'm sure he wanted it. So I'm okay. just keep winning week in, week out, like the Packers are doing. And I just hope that this defense doesn't sort of rear its ugly head at the wrong time where things start breaking. That's the one thing. That's the only thing that is just, I want to see more consistency, and I think we're going to get it. And I'll talk about this in the second half with their upcoming opponents. But when you're looking at the overall makeup of the team, like Coach LaFleur said, you're not going to have everything perfect. And the way the offense is playing, it can, you don't need your defense to be perfect. Look at the Chiefs last year. Defense was sort of a mess in the early on. They were still figuring it out, and then they turned it on. Well, right now, the Packers, like I said, have scored 30 in 11 straight games, clinching the NFC North. Back-to-back years, something that Rodgers hasn't had, back-to-back years, which is incredible to think about. And one and not done. We got more right in front of us. Packers are in the driver's seat and control their own destiny. I'm going to take a quick commercial break, and I do not need to be resuscitated. I am ready to go for the second half. We're going to do some fan questions. We're going to talk about some more Green Bay Packers talk and their upcoming opponents right after this commercial break. Go Pack, go.
This episode is brought to you by Sonic Transformation. Check us out at www.sonictransformation.com. Sonic Transformation, your sound refined.
Go Pack, go! And we are back with the second half. And something I didn't mention as I was wrapping up the first half is we've got game balls, baby. We've got game balls. And I think, so normally Ken and I, when we co-host an episode, we do game balls in the first half, then we do overall vibes. Knowing Ken, he's fired up. Knowing Ken, he's fired up. Packers are 10-3 right now, winning the NFC North. I got this, buddy. I got this. You're here in spirit right now, and I think I'm doing okay. It's a little scared sometimes, but we're going to get through. And I'm thrilled to share my first game ball. Actually, Ken and I agreed upon this. So did Niebles. But Mason Crosby, how can you not? He has to get your first game ball. And listening to Coach LaFleur's press conference after the game, which is such a beautiful thing to do, after a Packers win, just hanging out, taking it in, listening to your coach talk about the Green Bay Packers. Oh man, there's nothing sweeter than that after a victory. And he said, quote, fudge it a little, end quote, when they were talking about that 57-yard field goal, whether or not that would push Mason Crosby's limit. And that was something that would give Green Bay a two-score advantage with a little bit more than 3 minutes left if he were to make it. And what's interesting enough is that Menenga had the punt team out there, and LaFleur looked at Mason Crosby, asked one question, can you hit this? And he said yes. Whew. Goosebumps, baby. Goosies. That's not the sniffing salts. That is straight adrenaline. Just thinking about that. Can you hit this? And he says, yes. LaFleur sends Crosby out. And talk about just a moment with Crosby and LaFleur. And he drills his longest field goal in 7 games. Imagine that. This was the longest field goal for Crosby since the 57-yarder against the Dallas Cowboys on December 3rd, 2013, and the second longest of his career besides his franchise record from 58 on October 23rd, 2011 in Minnesota. So when they had the 36-yard line as the threshold of whether or not that was going to be Crosby's spot, and then they get the penalty, push back 5 yards, and I was pissed. I was so mad because I thought that they were going to punt it. But talk about just ice cold veins, ice cold water running through your veins, Coach LaFleur. Man, same with Crosby. His celebration afterwards, that was awesome. That's another galvanizing moment for your Green Bay Packers. Let's not forget, though, that Ford Field has not been so kind to Mr. Mason Crosby. Think about it. Only a couple years ago, his career was almost derailed after he missed 4 field goals and an extra point when they lost to the Lions in 2018, 31-23. And Crosby, since then, has made 56 of his last 60 field goals for a 93.3%. Last year, he tied Jan Stenerud's franchise record for highest made field goal percentage in a season with 91.6. Mr. Mason Crosby, you get a game ball. I feel like Oprah Winfrey, like talk show host, you get a free car, you get a free car, you get a game ball. Mr. Mason Crosby, what a play. There is no doubt in my mind you get this game ball. What a play. And those are the moments that make this team special. Wow. So cool. I'm getting chills just talking about that. That field goal was awesome. He has made some just amazing kicks. And it's crazy to think that like people were ready to yank him in 2018. And talking about the second game ball, there thing, you know, you could talk about Devontae Adams for sure, Aaron Rodgers for sure. But what I really was impressed with was Marquez Valdes-Scantling. He's had a quiet couple weeks, and what he showed again, I mean, that strong arm touchdown that he hauled in, really, really impressive. And the players love him. Like, coach loves him. Rodgers loves him. I mean, crazy to think, like, this guy was getting death threats a little over a month ago after that overtime fumble in Indianapolis. So he comes out and catches 6 passes for 85 yards. He had that crucial 21-yard grab on 3rd and 14. That was that like 8-minute, 49-second drive in the second half by Rodgers and company. And he had atoned for a drop earlier. This guy just, I don't know. He's got this it factor of how he can just bounce back. And Coach LaFleur in his postgame presser talked about how what MBS does are all these little things that go unnoticed where he called it, we give him an assist. He gives assists. And what that means is that because of his deep speed, because defenses need to keep an eye on him, he opens up so much more for Tonyan, for Lazard, for EQ. EQ had a nice grab. Devontae. I mean, Devontae can do whatever he can do. That is a grown-ass man. But MVS with his top-end speed, you need to keep an eye on him. He also is a really good blocker. He just guts it out, grinds it. I for one, am rooting for MVS. And you're seeing a player now that's not basket catching. He's not letting the football catch his in between his numbers. He's going out and he's catching these with his hands. That's something that like he's struggled with. And I remember Rodgers on Pat McAfee for Aaron Rodgers Tuesday. This was 4 or 5 weeks ago. And I forget the question that was asked to Rodgers, but Rodgers talked about how he'll throw footballs differently depending on the receiver. And it's jogging my memory. This is all about Devontae Adams, about how he can throw them at anywhere and Devontae Adams can catch it. He doesn't have to softball it, if you will. And when he mentioned that, I automatically thought of MVS. I wonder if Rodgers throws it differently to MVS so he can catch it. You know, those confidence boosters. But seeing this performance on Sunday, seeing what he did, he made some really nice, like, NFL pro catches. It wasn't just, oh, he's going to take one of the house, which he's been known to do. These were methodical catches, extending drives, and then pay dirt. Really great to see. So he definitely gets the second game ball. But there you have it, Mason Crosby. Marquez Valdes-Scantling, get your 2 game balls. We usually do like 1 offense, 1 defense, but I think we're going to switch it up. 2 game balls. Who are you going to give them to? Regardless of whether it's offense or defense. And as we're moving on, believe it or not, I'm feeling good. I hope you're all enjoying your time as well. Thank you so much for tuning in week in and week out. It really means a lot. It truly, truly does. There were moments during this year where the only thing that was really keeping me going was this podcast, was reading about the Packers, creating an agenda, coordinating with Niebels, coordinating with Ken, having all these wonderful guests that we've had on week in, week out. And now we've evolved it where we have our opponent, a VIP from our opponent come on, which has been fun. I hope you've been enjoying our new guest episodes and If you haven't yet, we've had two former Packer players on. We had Leroy Butler on back in May for Leroy Butler on Tap. Check that out if you haven't yet. And we had Brandon Bostic in, my buddy. Actually, Leroy and Brandon, both my buddies. Really weird to think about, but great people, supporters of the podcast, much like you all. And yeah, both episodes were amazing, but man, Brandon Bostic and I, we got deep in our episode and I talked about my struggles. He talked about his struggles. He talked about life after football, but I know I'm digressing a little bit, but I do want to take the time to thank you all. It really means a lot seeing downloads, seeing all the support. It's crazy to think, you know, 3.5 years we've been doing this podcast and have this following, which I cherish so much. And yeah, it's been a rough year. I hope everyone else is hanging in there, doing well, and looking forward to 2021. Best year ever. But yeah, I just wanted to share that all with you, that it week in, week out, I really look forward to doing this. It's so much fun talking about the team that I love, the team that you love. And yeah, well, there you have it. And I think this is fitting because we're going to do some fan questions right now. And I'm going to do my best. Usually I ride on the coattails of Mr. Big Bad Ken Ingles, but I'm going to see if I can hack it. And so here we go. So for the first fan question, at SnowflyZone1994, he said, where do you put Matt LaFleur and Rodgers among head coach and QB duos in their first 2 years winning percentage-wise? Well, I didn't have the time to calculate, and I've never been good at math. But if you think about it, I mean, Rodgers right now and Coach LaFleur, Green Bay Packers, 10-3. Last year, 13-3, 14-4 overall. So you're looking at 17-7. See, I'm already showing you that I'm terrible at math. 27-7. I had to think about that for a little bit. And, I mean, this is impressive to see what Rodgers and Coach LaFleur are doing. But immediately what comes to mind is definitely Don Shula and Dan Marino. In their first three seasons, the Dolphins were 33-8. And they won their division each year. And Marino had thrown for 98 touchdowns and just 41 starts. So 33-8. So in three seasons, you're looking at the Green Bay Packers right now, 14-4, 10-3. Who knows? Maybe we run the table. So that number can definitely get up there, close to 33-8. This would be a great question just for next season. See how what Rodgers, LaFleur, see how they're doing in that third year. And maybe we can get close to that 33-8. But Shula and Marino, Terry Bradshaw and Chuck Noll, I know the Steelers, but when they drafted Bradshaw, they were terrible in the first couple of seasons before they won the season in his third year, I want to say. And then, of course, Belichick and Brady. Brady's first year, they won the Super Bowl. Came in for Drew Bledsoe and they went all the way. So those are the three that come to mind. You know, you think about Favre and Holmgren, but I mean, those are totally different scenarios. I mean, maybe like you can think about Favre and Sherman, Favre and McCarthy, but nothing compares to what Rodgers and LaFleur. I mean, think about it. Coach LaFleur last year, I mean, they went 13-3. They were winning ugly, which was the phrase. Winning a lot of close games. Not what they look like now where they lead the offense or lead the league in offense right now. But I think that when it's all said and done, we can look back at this as possibly one of the greatest quarterback coaching tandems. But right now, I think the numbers at 33-8 with the Dolphins and Shula and Marino, I think you're looking at what they did. But like I said, right at the beginning of the episode, Packers 10-3 right now, have the number one seed, own the tiebreaker over the Saints, and we still got some games left in this season, and we still got some playoff football. I mean, that's something that's confirmed. We're going to the playoffs. Remember when we didn't go to the playoffs? Remember like the tail end of McCarthy? That was not that long ago. Oof, it's 2 seasons ago. Imagine that. Yeah, right around this time 2 years ago, we had just fired McCarthy and it was Joe Philbin time. Wow. 2 years. What? Look where we have come. But yeah, I want to thank at Snowfly Zone 1994. I think his name is Jair season or something. But thank you so much, Mr. at Snowfly Zone 1994. And then the second question is at Real Red Webster. This is like his second or third. He has some really phenomenal questions, but this is pretty fitting. He said, news about Aaron Jones looking at another agent. Do you think that the Packers have an offer out there for him and he wants to take it, but his agent believes he can get more money elsewhere? And I got to throw it up. Got to thank the man behind the scenes, Niebles. He had texted me right before I started recording that Drew Rosenhaus, Shark, I think that's his nickname, is Aaron Jones' new agent. Ooh. So for that fan base that is holding on hope, holding on for dear life, living on a prayer that Aaron Jones is going to re-sign with the Green Bay Packers after the season, this was a dagger. And I know if I had Ken Ingles here, I mean, we've talked about this. I mean, Ken has talked about this. Let's be real, the salary cap expert. He's talked about how we need to brace ourselves, that what you're looking at next year contract-wise, you're looking at Tonyan, Sullivan, Raven Green before he got hurt. But those are like probably the moves you're looking at making, depending on, I don't know. There's not much more. I don't think Lindsley's going to get re-signed, especially with him being hurt, which sucks because he was the best center in the league before he got hurt. But I think you're seeing the future at center right now, Elgton Jenkins. And they got Lucas Patrick at left guard, but they've got Runyon Jr. who they like. They got a great line. Just paid David Bakhtiari. I mean, they paid Kenny Clark and paid Bakhtiari. I do not see this scenario where he's holding that the Packers have an offer out for him. I think by him signing with Rosenhaus, he's going to get paid somewhere else. And more power to him. I love Aaron Jones. Pay me shades, Showtime. I love him so much. But I already had resigned to the fact that he was going to be playing elsewhere next year. I just can't see. He's going to command a lot of money. And now with this blockbuster of an announcement of Drew Rosenhaus being his agent, he's going to get paid somewhere and he's going to be handsomely rewarded, which he deserves. But I'm going to live in the moment right now. And the Packers are 10-3 and we have Aaron Jones on our team. But Real Red Webster, that's a great question. I would like to think that Ken's a listener right now and he's like, yep, Bryce, you take it. Win beneath my wings. Take it. My Bette Midler, Ken. And I think I made you proud there a little bit. But yeah, you're Kevin King might. I know that that's been the wild card for Ken, which whatever Ken says, I'm on board. But cornerback being a premier position, maybe we can get a good deal for him. But then again, maybe he gets paid elsewhere. Some other team needs a cornerback and they're willing to pay Kevin King. And when he's on the field, he's a difference maker. That size, he is noticed when he's out there. So congratulations to Aaron Jones, new agent. That was for sure, as Wayne Larrabee likes to say, that's the dagger. He's going to sign elsewhere. But I, again, am going to focus on the moment right now with this Green Bay Packers team. We have Aaron Jones. How sweet would that be? And who knows? Maybe I'm wrong. But knowing that teams fork over a lot of money for running backs, wanting a running back, the Packers are not going to shell out a lot of money for Aaron Jones, nor do they have the money. Salary cap getting reduced. They already signed Kenny Clark and David Bakhtiari. They're going to have to restructure deals in order to get under the salary cap, make amends with that, if you will. But I think I did Ken proud there. I will find out. He'll message me and he'll let me know. Yay or nay. Yay or nay, Ken. Yay or nay. But I can't believe it. I felt good. Whew. Solo show with you all. Got a little nostalgic. Threw out a lot of gratitude. Deviated a little bit, wanted to thank you all. This means so much. I love doing this podcast. I love talking Packers with you all, even though I'm just talking to myself in a microphone. I'm envisioning me just having this monologue But as we wrap up, one and not done. That's right. One and not done on tap. Your Green Bay Packers sit at 10-3, number one in the NFC. Like, soak it all in. Let's have some fun. As we wrap up this episode, as we wrap up getting closer and closer to playoff football, next week's opponent, the Carolina Panthers, who are 4-9, they might be getting Christian McCaffrey back, which is a little scary, but they lost to the Denver Broncos. Tennessee Titans are the following week, Super Bowl contender possibly. Derrick Henry scares me. He just went off for 200-some yards. They're coming to Lambeau. Got the Bears as we wrap up our season. Packers wrap up their season. Bears are 6-7. They've got a little bit of a hot offense, which is crazy to think. I'm sure Chicago's just like burning the city to the ground. They think they're going to the Super Bowl, and I think it's hilarious. I'm all for that. But they could be playing for a wild card spot in week 17. And then there's that first playoff game after the bye, if the Packers should get it. But it's going to be fun. Saturday football, Carolina Panthers, Green Bay Packers at home. Saturday football. It's not a playoff game, too. So that's going to be fun during the season, Saturday football. But Panthers are 4-9. Yeah, Christian McCaffrey. This will be a great test for this defense. So far, they've given up, what, 3.9 yards per carry in the last 3 weeks. McCaffrey comes back. Let's see what the Green Bay Packers defense can do. That's what I'm keying in on. J.K. Scott is not that far away from the record that Tim Mastey set in 2011, I believe. So yeah, people are all clamoring that he needs to tackle better. But when it comes to that leg, he has been rocking it. Also forgot during the game balls that Mason Crosby with that tackle on that punt or on that return. So Crosby laying it on. That wasn't shade at J.K. Scott. He's not paid to do that. But man, looking at this offense, looking at can this defense continue to bend in the right way? You have some ascending players like, I mean, Savage, what Jair's doing, Adrian Amos, Kamal Martin teed off on Matthew Stafford. So you got KB back, Chris Barnes. Stay healthy, but I am fired up. I hope you all are too. NFC North champions, back-to-back, your Green Bay Packers, 10-3, in first place in the NFC according to playoff seedings. And let's ride, man. Let's ride. Thank you so much for tuning in to One and Not Done. We are not done, Green Bay Packers fans. I am Bryce Christensen, and this is the Unknown Packers Podcast. Thank you so much for following the Unknown Packers Podcast. You can follow us on Twitter at Unknown Packers, as well as Facebook, Instagram, the Unknown Packers Podcast. You can check us out on our website, theunknownpackers.com, and a variety of different podcast platforms as well. You can also say, hey, Alexa, play the Unknown Packers Podcast. That's right. We're friends with Alexa. Go Pack, go.
This podcast was edited and produced by Sonic Transformation. Sonic Transformation, your sound refined.